Welcome back in, hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not too much. Hope you guys are doing well.
Well, we're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us today. And, Jim, obviously all eyes going to be on the injury report this week and maybe who can be back for the Titans in this game against the Buffalo Bills. My question for you to start is, do you think the Buffalo Bills at this moment are the best team in the National Football League?
I kind of do. I think they're the best team in the AFC right now. And got a quarterback who is on fire. Defense is playing well. So I think they're the best team in the AFC. You know, how that plays out, you know, by the time we get to December, I'll be interested to see. But they're going to come in here ready to play after what happened last year. And so it's the toughest game on the Titans schedule and easily the best team the Titans have faced.
Yeah, so another thing we asked earlier, Jim, and this is not a choice the Titans have, but I thought of this, you know, because – we see Julio Jones is back on the field. Not all that surprising that Christian Fulton isn't, given the way it looked when he left the field Sunday. But if you had a choice in this game for one of those two guys to be available, which would you choose? Which would be more helpful in this matchup?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think I would have to go Julio Jones just because I think – when he's out there, it just changes the look of the whole offense, makes things easier for A.J. Brown, makes things easier for Derrick Henry, you know, makes things easier, obviously, for Ryan Tannehill. And I think he just adds an extra dimension in a game where you're going to have to score. And that's tough to say because Christian Fulton is this team's best cornerback and has been the first five games of the season. I think Buffalo is going to score, to be honest with you, no matter who is out there at corner. And the Titans are going to have to play well on defense just to contain them to some degree. But with that choice, I think I'd have to say Julio just because of the broad effect that he has on everybody.
Jim, how surprised were you with the retirement of Ty Sambrylo? And as you look at the depth now on the offensive line and specifically at the tackle positions, how concerning is that to you if you're the Titans as you move forward here?
Well, I think if you had told me that was going to happen, I mean, I think any time somebody retires in the middle of the season, it comes as a surprise just because, you know, usually those decisions are made, you know, after guys have had to sit down and have, you know, had some time to think about it, and it's one of these deals where, you know, it's been on their minds for a while. So once somebody's committed and saying, hey, I want to be there, that just doesn't happen a lot. You know, the way things were playing out, and again, there's probably a lot that went into it. Some of it could have been him coming back from injury. Some of it could have been about his unhappiness. But still, you just don't think guys are going to just quit. I mean, and it has put the team in a tough spot because Dylan Raidens has worked at tackle and guard. And I think now this speeds things up for him and how he's going to be needed. Kendall Lamb not been in a position, wasn't in the position that maybe they thought he would be when they signed him, in part because he dealt with an injury that slowed his progress. And now, boom, you've got both those guys that are really on the spot. So I think, yes, you got to have some concern because Sambrylo did a good job and he was kind of next in line, and now they're in a tougher spot from a depth standpoint. So it's put them in quite a bind, and I'd be lying to say if didn't have some concerns about it.
Jim, offensively, as you look at this game for the Titans, obviously all eyes are going to be on Derrick Henry, but how important is it in your mind that the Titans have now got Marcus Johnson back, and I guess what do you expect out of him as they move forward here?
Looks like
I believe
we
may have lost Jim Wyatt there. So we'll try to get Jim Wyatt back on the line and circle around here shortly. Really interested to get his thoughts on Marcus Johnson, too, because we talked about how important he could be in this game coming up here on Monday night. We'll see about Julio Jones. Julio Jones back on the field as of yesterday at practice. Joe Rexroad recovering from whatever just happened to Joe Rexroad. I think you may be unplugged as well. So.
There we go. Okay. Hey, Ladarius unplugged me. That was good. Did we hear the crash, though? So I just broke a chair here. I apologize. A chair just broke underneath me. We weren't on video, right?
I don't know.
And that knocked Wyatt off, too? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's hope that there's no video evidence of all that just happened.
Oh, what a time it was.
I'm going to blame the chair.
Yeah,
we should. It was a faulty chair, right?
That's what we're going to do. Do we have Jim Wyatt back online?
Jim, save us. Jim.
Not yet.
Does look like we've got Jim back online. All right, we'll continue to work on getting Jim back on the line.
Thank you, Ladarius, too. Ladarius, you had to show some strength there to lift me up off the floor, too. Yeah. I'm impressed.
You never know what may happen on live radio.
Good,
Joe, your thoughts?
Good upper body preseason, Ladarius.
Joe, your thoughts on Marcus Johnson as the third wide receiver or potentially wide receiver two for the Titans?
Yeah, well, I think that that's why my answer to that question would be Fulton, even though I agree with what Jim said. Fulton can be out there. Bills are going to score points. But I think you might get another stop or two with Christian Fulton. And I think that, I think that Marcus Johnson is good. Are you going to be able to maintain here? Are you going to be able to hang in?
No.
I think Marcus Johnson showed quite a bit Sunday. gosh. As the wide receiver too, so you need AJ Brown to, to do more. You probably need AJ Brown to to get more snaps. Maybe he's off the snap count if he has another good week, and then you're okay. But yeah, you bring Julio Jones back. That's probably the kind of game you have to get into. You probably have to get into just an all out shootout.
We've got Jim Wyatt back on the line with us. Jim, sorry about that. Welcome back in to the program. You just missed Rexroad absolutely eat one and break a chair here at our site as well. So I'm sure you would love to have seen that.
I heard something and then it just kind of went dead. So it sounded like some kind of catastrophe happened. That explains it.
So I fell and just knocked the entire show out. That's great. Happy opening day.
It was great stuff. Well, Jim, I was trying to ask you as Joe Rexroad was falling down in the chair about Marcus Johnson and his role on this team. How important is it in your mind to have him back and available for the Titans, and what sort of a factor do you expect him to be as they move forward here?
Well, I think more and more. I mean, he was the best receiver through training camp and in the preseason, to be honest with you. But Julio and AJ not out there a whole bunch, but he was consistently the best target, and I think he's just going to settle in and get better and better. I think they'll obviously have to limit Julio's reps and like they did AJ when he does come back. So he's going to be in the mix. I think he's going to help him. He looked good at practice yesterday. And so receiving corps getting healthier, which should make offense better.
Well, staying on the offense, Jim, I think one position that hasn't made enough of an impact, enough of a positive impact, would be tight end. Although I tell you what, Mykole Pruitt turns out to be an awfully timely, pickup for them to get him back. But what do you think needs to happen there? Do you think they have enough, and are we going to at some point see more from Anthony Ferguson? I mean, I know he obviously missed time early with a knee. Maybe that's limiting him now. But what's your assessment of the tight end position?
Yeah, I do think I'm a little surprised. It hasn't been more of an impact, and I did expect more from Ferkser, and then he got hurt and missed time, and I think he's still kind of working his way back in. They've just leaned more on other positions, obviously one of them running back, who continues to carry it at an incredible rate. I think Ferkser will be more in the mix, but Ferkser has gotten some help from Pruitt, who has stepped up in his absence. Swaim, he kind of is what he is. He's more of a blocking tight end who is not going to catch a lot of passes. So if somebody's going to be more in the spotlight there, it's going to be Furcher once he gets closer to good health.
Well, you mentioned the guy who should probably start any discussion of this team. It's just ridiculous, the numbers, the pace. And, you know, look, in some form or fashion, we ask every week him, the coaches, about workload and all this stuff. But, look, he's on a pace right now to obliterate the carries record and the touches record, which, I tell you what, I would not have guessed James Wilder, Tampa Bay Bucks, 1984. But that's a good trivia question. But, Jim, when you look at Derrick Henry, do you think – I guess my one thing I've wondered with him is, like, does he have to be the one who tires out a defense, or does a defense is a defense tired in the fourth quarter to some extent anyway? I'm not saying, like, don't give him first quarter carries, but I swear he takes his hardest hits early in games. Where do you think things are with Derrick Henry and his work?
Yeah, and I do think you're right. I mean, and that's going to be the case again on Monday. I mean, nobody wants to get embarrassed by Derrick Henry. Nobody wants to let him, you know, be the one to beat you when you know he's going to get the ball the way things are going, 25, 30 carries a game. So with that, he does take a lot of punishment early. But I think as the game goes on, as we've all seen, you know, teams just get worn down. I think the defense does get tired. I think he continues to get stronger and the offensive line gets more in a groove as the game goes on. So, you know, I've seen Eddie. I saw Eddie George do it. I saw Chris Johnson do it to some extent. He was a different runner. And in some of those cases, you can kind of see where the guy, as his career went on, just kind of didn't have the same impact that he did earlier in his career. And with Derrick Henry, it's remarkable because you're seeing no signs of that at all. I mean, he's having more success now than he did, you know, early in his career. So how long he can keep going, I mean, I guess Derrick Henry will let us know, but it's been really incredible to see, and I think so much credit goes to him for putting himself in a position where his body can take those hits, and he just does not get tired and worn down.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, Jim, last thing for you, the important question. Your confidence level in your beloved Dodgers as they take on the Giants in a Game 5.
I'm nervous. Yeah, I've got on my Dodger visor today, obviously, and I don't know. Giants and Dodgers have been going at it all year. I think it's 10-9. I take it back. I think it's 12-11, the season series now. So they've been dead even. I've got a feeling Dodgers are going to win this game tonight, but also got a sinking feeling that goes with these elimination games as well. So bracing myself for the worst, hoping for the best.
Well, we wish you good luck. Lots of Nashville area kids on the Dodgers as well.
That's right.
Yeah, really good stuff. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Jim, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Okay, y'all have a good day. Be careful in there, Joe.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
We'll come back. We'll react to what Jim had to say there on the Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off of gift cards on Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slims, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing in Nashville as well. Get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, what a moment it was. Last segment. Rex Road hits the floor. The interview continues on. Joe Rex Road is alive and well. Back on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Crispy's like, it's not the first time you've been on the floor in a bar. Yeah.
Very apropos.
Now he's mocking me.
Ryan Porth in the building. His laughter has returned the airwaves, much to the delight of everyone on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've got a special programming announcement coming up in about 10 minutes here live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena.
And it's not an announcement about how many chairs I can break sitting in them.
I can hear Ryan Porce laugh all the way here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think people could hear Ryan Porce laugh in Laverne right now as well. So.
I'm just glad you didn't see that. My gosh. So you sent us a video, Michelle, of the aftermath, which is fine.
I really wish I got it out of the Zoom.
Yeah, it was like maybe the most poorly timed. You know, we had Wyatt's face on the live stream. And if we could have just had the live shot of you taking your tumble down,
so you're telling me
way I'd be able to do the rest of the show.
So you're telling me that we will not have video evidence of this. Is that right?
I'm going to try to find something, but I don't think so.
That's you don't need to try that hard.
We need to really try.
Rex Road takes a tumble.
I'm sure it's beautiful.
And you want to know how bad of a co-host I am? I didn't even look to make sure he was okay.
No, you're good.
I just okay.
No, you got to be a pro. No, you
Rex Road's down. Guess I'm going to keep going.
You deserve some props for that. I don't know how you just kept it locked on. And of course, I hit the ground so hard that Wyatt's like Wi-Fi broke. He went to Robo Jim, came back because of me smashing onto the floor. So, I was impressed with you.
Thank you.
Continuing to, you know, to run the show. Nice work.
Thank you very much.
Whew, let's hope no video surfaces. All right.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Tyler texting in. That was one of the funniest things I've ever heard on 102.5 all these years. Yes, it was.
Jim says Joe Rex chair. See, you can do it. You can put it on anything.
Chris texting in. Gotta love those poor horse laughs. Is it the WWE that breads tonight? Oh, man.
Luckily, Porth's got a donut right now, so the cackle cannot be heard throughout the mid-state.
Keith texting in, Joe Rex broke.
There you go.
Joe Rex broke. Oh, boy. Well, this is a great point by Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bill's Mafia breaks tables. Joe's Mafia breaks chairs. That's all that happened, right? As I turned on my car and started my drive to work, my Thursday could not have started any better.
I mean, what would I do to one of those little folding chairs with a running start? I will say, you guys can vouch for me, though. When I came in today, remember, I sat in the chair and I was like, this is a 45-degree angle.
It's kind of wop.
I mean, the chair was like sort of, you know, it was already a little bit. So I'm going to say that it's like, you know, someone loosens the pickle jar for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say someone else must have, you know, softened that chair up for me, right?
Must have. Caleb texting in, Joe breaks chairs like Chris Farley breaks tables. There you go.
Nice. Woo.
How much are you enjoying this conversation now?
Again, we can talk and laugh about it. I just don't want to see the video of it. As long as I don't see the video of it, everything's fine. Me disappearing. The look of complete terror on my face. Yeah.
Robbie was just smiling at the Zoom. All of a sudden, I just saw one box head. Robbie smiling. And then your arm on the ground.
I knew I had to maintain some level of professionalism with Wyatt on the line, but that quickly went out the door. And Wyatt's little shot at the end of you was just beautiful.
Yes.
Just beautiful.
Yeah. The one, you know, Wyatt's Wi-Fi decides to work perfectly for that shot. So, yeah. Well, anyway, how about those Titans, huh? Big game. Big game coming up Monday.
I asked Jim Wyatt this question. How concerned are you now with the tackle depth if you're the Titans? Obviously. You know, we've talked about the interior of the offensive line and the lack of depth there. But now, with Tyson Brailo retired, what do you make of the tackle depth and how concerning is that moving forward if you're Mike Vrabel and the Titans?
Yeah, well, you had a real nice swing tackle there. And frankly, I was not ruling out the idea that Sombrailo might. By the way, Tyson Brailo, we've had a real issue again in this town. And he's retired now, so it probably didn't matter. But, like, you know, Buck writes the story and still doesn't know his name, Sombrailo, instead of Sombrailo. I mean, they like hate text him. I mean, come on, people. I mean, it's Sombrailo. Okay, so it's Sombrailo. I thought Sombrailo actually might have been able to compete with Quessenberry to start at right tackle at some point. But, you know, let's remember the foot, which, of course, ended the season last year. I mean, that's a big part of this, too, is when you have that come back on you. But I thought that he might end up being a better option than Questenberry. Let's remember he was the option, you know, over Questenberry to replace Lawan last year at left tackle. So it really hurts. Obviously, it takes away a swing tackle you feel like you can rely on. Kendall Lamb struggled. And if you have to go to Kendall Lamb, I would say based on what we've seen, that's not ideal. So Dylan Radins is interesting because he could start at left guard in this game. We don't know what's going to go on with Roger Saffold. But there's definitely a suggestion, as much as Vrabel would get into any kind of injury question, I took away from Monday, you know, that they're really looking at, do they want to keep going through this cycle of Saffold, toughen it out, credit to him, but toughen it out, and then just, you know, shoulder injury that bad that hurts you and takes you out of the game when you're playing offensive line in the NFL, or do they need to, like, take a little time? And if that's the case, is Dylan Radins the choice? But do you actually need to, you know, start developing him and working him at the place you drafted him for?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, he's basically just been interior for the last little bit here, and you drafted him to be your right tackle. And, look, it's disappointing enough in its own right if he's not the right tackle and you've drafted him in the second round to be the right tackle. I mean, but at the end of the day it works out he's the guard, I guess it's not the worst situation. But it would be nice for him.
If he plays well.
He plays well.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to have him actually available to play the position he was drafted to play.
So that's a really interesting, and you know, there's no team watching anymore in practice. But like, if you're Keith Carter, where are you? Well, if you're Todd Downing, Mike Vrabel, like, where are you devoting the reps? That's pretty big. You know, left guard, right tackle. There's some pretty big differences there, and in a number of ways in what you're doing. So now Corey Levin, of course, was the choice over Radins, but Keith Carter kind of suggested, you know, that was more, or maybe it was Vrabel. Somebody suggested it was, you know, basically he may have been more ready there, but that with time and with emphasis that Radins might be the choice there. But it's just, look, it's a big hit to depth. And based on the way things are going for this team, you're expecting like everyone to be hurt by the time the season's over. So you're going to have to really dig in with your depth. And the offensive line has not played well, but at least it had some options, and now you have one less option. And it was a pretty decent option.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in. I'm not sure I'm too worried about the defense this week. I'm definitely worried about the offensive line and Tannehill being on his backside a lot in this game. They have to keep him moving against the Bills. And to Ron's point, it's a pretty impressive front that they're going up against this week in Buffalo that's played awfully well so far this year.
I mean, you should still be worried about the defense,
you
too.
Should be.
But I agree. I mean, that front is they're getting pressure with four consistently. You know, one of the things about the Chiefs I thought this year, obviously the defense has been bad, but the offensive line looked like they really did some good stuff to fix it, and it didn't look that way against the Bills. The Bills had Mahomes just running around and trying to make these ridiculous plays. He made some, because yep, he always does, but that's not Tannehill. And, yeah, the Titans are going to have a really good plan, I think, to move the pocket, to max protect, whatever it is, to get the ball out fast. And this is where, if you do have Julio Jones in this game, with A.J. Brown, maybe more snaps with Marcus Johnson, at least now that's the scariest. Well, I shouldn't say that. No one's scarier than Hill and Kelsey together. But three players on the outside, I think, would be the most stress you would put on them from a receiver standpoint that they've seen this season.
And especially if you get, you know, a healthy Julio Jones and a A.J. Brown that's not on a snap count. Get out there with A.J. Brown and it's full go A.J. Brown. You know, we've not seen much of that this year. You know, the Arizona game, I thought he played well, but, you know, you're on your back the whole game. It's your Tannehill, and then he couldn't catch the ball against Seattle, then he was hurt, and that's all we've seen.
Right, but Julio Jones was dominant in that game, and really his numbers should be better than they were because of that touchdown they took away. So, yeah, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen protection, both of those guys full go and playing well yet in a game.
When we come back, we'll have a special programming announcement here on Robbie and Rex Road. Looking forward to that coming up next. But right now, attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey there. We have a major medical advancement, guys. If you're struggling in the bedroom, have some ED, I bet you're sick of the pills, Hillside Medical uses the most studied form of acoustic wave therapy. This opens up, very gently, blood vessels and improves circulation. That is what a guy with erectile dysfunction needs more of.
So, Andrew, what kind of clinical studies have been done on this new technology?
If you go to hillsidemedicalclinic.com, you can read 50 of them. It is irrefutable at this point. Studies from Cambridge and so many others have called this safe, effective, even the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And I hear you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
So much value today, guys. Get your phone ready. If you're ready to regain your love life and put a stop to the ED, give us a call right now this morning. The assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound is free, plus a gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. You'll love that. Trust me. It's worth about $500. We're doing it free to callers now.
That's right. You guys heard it from Andrew. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer. 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here to make a special programming announcement today. We've talked about this all show long. The time has come for our special programming announcement. And now joining me here at the table, alongside with Joe Rexroad, Predators president and CEO Sean Henry. Sean, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm so glad you guys are here. It's a normal opening day, right?
It is.
Your first one.
It is.
As new radio best friends.
That's right. That's right.
And we're also joined by Cromwell Media president, Bud Walters. Bud, how's it going?
It's going good. I hope the chair doesn't fall out from under me.
We've already had one of those today. We're going to really try hard not to have two.
And thank you for checking on me, Bud. I appreciate that.
I was worried about you.
I know. Yeah.
John, you missed Rex Road just totally hit the
floor.
You
didn't see it, Sean. Well, he just fell flat to the floor. The chair fell out from under him.
Well, I broke one of your chairs. I'm sorry.
We're indemnified of any injury. This is your workers' comp. Not our liability,
It is definitely. He's on the job. I can see his back.
The soreness. The soreness is starting to come up here a little bit. I don't know.
Would you like to borrow my back brace?
Maybe.
Guys from Michigan concern me, though. They always have a lawyer's card in their pocket. Always. My gosh.
Don't worry.
Everyone in a bar is going to clean brand shop.
Somebody from TV will be over here shortly.
That's right. Well, we're really excited to have you guys with us here today. And obviously, Sean, there's been just a great partnership between our radio station, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and the Nashville Predators for a long time now. And we are here today to announce a new multi-year agreement between the Predators and ESPN.
Whoa. Now, you know, it makes me laugh. I'm so glad you said it the way you did. But I don't think we need an extension. Now, Bud's going to argue. Wait a minute. He signed the deal, right? We've always been partners.
I mean, we have been. And, you know, and as you say, this has been more of a handshake deal than a formal deal. We did a formal deal 10 years ago, and we've handshaked it along the way, you know, every year, and that continues. But we are talking multi-years and, long, long time.
There is no end to this deal, and that's what I like the best. And this relationship really is forged in a handshake. It was forged in a vision that Bud had when he came to us and said, I'm going to build a sports station. It's going to be the best sports station in the city. Just like your goal is to be the best team, you know, in your league, we're going to be the best. And I kind of looked at him and thought, wait a minute, you're building a sports station. I've never been part of anyone doing that. And he truly, it was a visionary thing, and he built it around, you know, our team. And we were humbled then, and now you look back 10, 11 years, and even more so, and this deal is going to go on forever. I mean, I hate using the word perpetuity too often. But it really is. I mean, I think it's an evergreen clause, too.
Yeah.
So we're signing a new, you know, window of a deal. But then it just continues on and on and on. And, you know, hopefully, when we're long gone and we're enjoying just coming to games or listening to the radio, someone else is, you know, filling this mantle, still talking about Preds games and 1025 The Game. And we are both the best in what we do.
Yes. You know, and when we started, Nashville didn't even know very much about a hockey or a hockey team. And honestly, over the last 10 years that we've been working together, we obviously didn't know how to be a sports station when we started out there's been a lot of stumbles along the way, and Sean's added to that. He's told us about a lot of the things that we haven't been doing right.
That's not true.
And helped us fix some of the things that we've needed to fix. And
always roses and sunshine when I call Bud.
Yeah. and you know, it just we want to get better all the way. And but one of the things is that you can listen to 102.5 The Game anywhere in the world. Part of the thing for the players on the team, you know, they come from small towns in Scandinavia and Europe, and their hometowns can listen to the games on thegamenashville.com, and as can anybody who wants to hear us. They can listen on the Internet or over the air and anywhere in the Nashville area. We have multiple signals here. We have 102.5 The Game. We have south of Cool Springs. If you're on I-840 or you want to listen in Columbia or 10 to 15 miles west of Franklin and maybe 102.5 doesn't reach you like you'd like it to, you can listen on 106.3, and that goes all across 840 and up and down 65 and 24. And in Murfreesboro, we have 97.5 repeating. And, of course, as we say, on the apps, on the web, so on Alexa. So any place you want to hear about the Predators, you know, it's really agnostic to the platform. It's what you guys are doing and what the announcers are doing. And, gosh, with Pete, you know, what we find is even while our guys are on TV, a lot of people are turning the TV down and listening to Pete.
Right. We like when people turn the TV down and listen to Pete. We also like when the TV's up and they're listening to that. But it doesn't matter. I mean, what I like about our broadcast team, though, they all blend together, whether it be whatever the medium is. And like Bud said, you know, you can hear this around the world. And I had our first team meeting, or was participating in our first team meeting since pre-pandemic because of all the protocols. It was on Monday or Tuesday. And we did something a little different this year. We did it during the playoffs. We sent every player's family kind of a Smashville package. Yard signs, flags, that sort of thing. We just did it again to launch the season. And the one thing that they all enjoy, their family can listen to the game no matter where they are. Now, they might have to wake up at 4 in the morning to listen to it. But it really is nice that anywhere you are, Smashville can be with you because of 102.5 The Game and all the platforms.
Right. Sean, what's this day like for you as opening night, getting ready to get going tonight against the Kraken coming in? Obviously, as you pointed out, a bit more of a normal opening night this year. How special is that? How special is this day every year for you in the organization?
You know, it's always hard to express. You know, every year, opening day is special, whether you're a five-year-old kid getting excited for whatever the sport is. But when you work with a team, as you guys know, it's even a little bit more special. But I think coming out of a pandemic, you realize how special it is. And I think some of the things we forgot about, just being together. I mean, like we talked about, we have not been together in forever. And yep. I miss you both, of course.
We miss
and,
you, too.
It just feels really good about the normal things that probably took for granted quite a bit. So it's really exciting. But the underlying current is the team. And this is a really fun, exciting, really, really good team that I love when the experts pick the way they do, because you get a chance to say, you know what, just sit back and watch. You know, when I was with Tampa, when we won the Cup in 04, we were picked 30th out of 30 teams that year. We were going to finish dead last by everyone. And without exception, go on to win the Cup. You know, back in 16-17, beginning of that season, no one picked us to make the playoffs, and we were the last team in the playoffs, but obviously you explode and you have some fun. But now, the next year, everyone expected us to, you know, sweep the playoffs, go 16-0. It didn't happen. I think it's a lot more fun when people are picking against you and you know what you have, and this is a really fun, exciting team to watch.
Well, now I feel bad for picking you to make the playoffs. Should no. go back on that?
No, I like when you do. I just am so glad that Jared picked us to finish dead last. I hope so anyway. And he'll laugh about that because, you know, he is the counter, you know, side. So I'm glad. But thank you for that, Joe. We always appreciate the vote of confidence out of
Have you all seen a wonderful article about Sean in the Nashville Business Journal?
I've read a nice photo, too.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? I am going to find Mark Burnett and beat him in the head because everyone knows I'm not a hugger.
It's a Paul Conger picture.
Oh, my God. So as a joke, I grabbed Ian and hugged him, and that's the picture that's on the front page. And my sons send me that picture 3 times a day. And they're like, they call him Uncle Ian now. Like, hey, Dad. And you know, it's a lot of people have had a lot of fun with it. So I'm glad I can bring a smile to Bud's face and my kid's face. And my wife just falls down crying every time my son sent it to me. So thanks for bringing it up.
I do. You
great way to start opening day.
Well, the other thing that we haven't talked about is, you know, over the years, as the Preds have grown up, I think that Nashville has come to realize all the things that you've done through the foundation and just through the involvement of the players. And the Preds have meant so much to Nashville. And it's, you know, a lot of people talk about it, but, you know, day in, day out, they do so much. Sometimes you know, it's hard to pinpoint which one is the most important, whether it's building playgrounds or donating to the hospitals. But our community is just better off because, Sean, because you're here leading and because, you know, because the Preds have just done so much. And, you know, we just need to talk about that because we got a wonderful town and we've got a wonderful sports scene, but the Preds just lead, you know, 100% in all the community involvement. If there's something going on and a need, the ice rinks from Antioch to Bellevue to Clarksville and, you know, all the ones that are projected and youth hockey, this is just, you know, it impacts just about everything that's happening in Nashville. So thank you.
Well, it's really nice of you to say, and just to continue this Mutual Admiration Society,
yeah.
Every time we do anything in the community, the first phone call I get is from Bud saying, how can we amplify it? How can we participate? And even bigger than that, things that we're not even associated with, you know, when Florida was going through some tough times, I had to turn on your station. You're doing commercials for Visit Florida. And no one probably knows this, but when the floods happened 10, 11 years ago, Bud built a coalition really around the southeast and the country that Nashville's open, and radio stations around the country were running commercials for free for us as a city to come here because of the way Bud's always responded to disasters and relief. So the marriage that we talk about with the love of sports, building something really great in our respective businesses, it only goes so far. The real marriage is what we both do in the community, and we're just so thankful for that partnership and the spirit that you have.
And for, you know, we have a lot of newcomers that are coming to Nashville, and they don't know all the things that have gone on to make the Preds as good as they are the last 10 years.
Yep.
And so we welcome all the newcomers. We hope you're Preds fans. And if you haven't thought about coming out tonight, are there tickets still available?
There's some promotional tickets still available. You know, we always keep those $10 or $15 a day game tickets that go on sale, I should know that, at 10 or 11 o'clock. Courtesy of Twice Dailies. And so those are available. And then we'll normally have some player holds pop open, I think, at 2 o'clock. You know, so we'll probably have a few of those. But yeah, there are some tickets available. There are some available for Saturday. And it's great with October. I think we have 55 games in October.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of opportunities to come on out. And welcome back some of our old friends, you know, that used to be on our team, meant so much to us.
That's right.
Well, yeah, well, if you're a newcomer to Nashville and you haven't been to a Preds game, well, you haven't been for the last couple of years anyway, if you come to Bridgestone Arena tonight, you'll see something that you won't see in Madison Square Garden or any of the other arenas around the country. This is really a special place, and it's opening night.
Absolutely.
It's opening night.
We're excited you guys joined us here today. Looking forward to continuing to work together as we move forward here. And excited for this game tonight here against the Kraken. Sean, appreciate you for joining us.
But I think they're giving us the bum rush. We only got one segment. You're on the station.
Well, we're doing an infomercial. Right? We're already
you go
over.
As long as you want.
Hey, I've got more chairs to try out.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Sean Henry, Bud Walters here with us on Robbie and Rexer. We'll come back. React to a little bit of what we've heard this hour on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also have the best and worst things in sports coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is time for the best and worst thing in sports for the week. Taking your thoughts and your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, would you like to kick us off, as you do every week, with your best thing in sports?
Okay, so can I do mine both together?
Yes, you can.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Or is that, it's a little weird. So my best thing emerged last night. Now, I will also say, honorable mention, hockey.
Sure.
Opening night. I mean, that's an obvious one, right?
Sure.
This extension is a good, great thing. But I'm gonna do a contrast real quick. My best thing emerged last night. If anybody hasn't seen Brandon Staley's speech, I retweeted it. It's been shared a lot. But he was asked about the John Gruden stuff. And, you know, go see it for yourself. But essentially, you know, what he talked about was being inclusive, talked about how hard it is to gain trust and how emails like Gruden's, you know, just immediately lose you trust. from a lot of different kinds of people. And I just thought it was a great message, and it was great to see it from an NFL head coach who had that kind of awareness to respond to this. I think a lot of the responses to this are going to be, well, folks on my team, you know, and don't want to talk about it, don't want to get into it. I appreciate Brandon Staley. That's my best thing. My worst thing is the Gruden stuff, but in particular, the people who immediately jump to making excuses or defending any of that. I mean, you know, without really, like none of us know what's in his heart or a lot of things about the situation. But if your immediate impulse is to jump and defend racist, misogynistic, homophobic stuff like that, then stop. That's my worst thing. They go together.
Very good. Michelle Knezevic, you can do your best and your worst in sports. Your best and worst thing in sports.
Okay, so we're going to do them together today. Joe, I like this little switch up. Okay, so my worst, also very similar to Joe's, you know, this story has clouded the media all week. I just think this John Gruden situation, obviously, I think this is the first of a lot of things that are probably going to come out, especially with, you know, them trying to just release all those emails. So I don't think this is really the end of this whole situation, and I think we're probably going to find out maybe more things that people don't want to believe that's happening in the NFL or conversations or things like that. And then my best thing in sports, on a lighter note, obviously, Joe, hockey's back. This is like the season where we have literally every sport we've got, college football, hockey, all that. But WNBA, right now, Diana Taurasi led her team to a win last night. And also, I just got this in my email. This is so fun. They just made a shirt for her, and it just has a big goat on it. And it, like, has her number and just, like, all her accomplishments on the back. And I don't know. I just love that. And Diana Taurasi's the GOAT. And we're repping some women's sports. So, yeah, that's my best in sports this week.
Love it.
My best thing in sports for this week, the NHL on TNT, the NHL on ESPN. When I heard the NHL on ESPN music the other night, I, like, flashed back to, like, 2002 with Gary Thorne and a very young Robbie Stanley growing up watching hockey. It's not the same. I understand that. They've got different broadcast teams. But, man, it's good to see the NHL back on ESPN. Really excited about the TNT part of it as well, and really excited about that going forward. That's my best thing in sports. And then, obviously, I mean, the worst thing is John Gruden. I don't think there's really any other way to go this week in sports on that. So pretty unanimous worst thing in sports on that front. It's good stuff there.
Yep. That's one of those where, you know, I was trying to think of, okay, the Gruden stuff is the clear, but is there something?
Last week, Urban Meyer was probably the worst thing in sports, but I was like, you know, whatever. Like, Urban Meyer is pretty tame right now.
John Gruden is the best thing in sports for Urban Meyer.
Well, I don't think there's any question for that. Joe, we've got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Seattle Kraken. We're giving away a pair of tickets every hour via trivia question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And the trivia question today and for this hour is this. We were joined yesterday by Predators captain Roman Josi. Of course, Roman Josi has been named to the 2022 Swiss Olympic team. He has already participated in an Olympic tournament. Which tournament did he participate in? What year was Roman Josi in the Olympics? Where was the Olympics? You know the answer. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Go fast.
615-737-1025. He brought it up in the interview yesterday. 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly guess the answer will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken coming up later tonight. When we come back, we will get into the Titans, including some interesting comments made yesterday by Mike Rabel on the Ty Sombrilo retirement. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.